Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Simcast. No, this is not the jazz special, nor are you listening to this in slightly slow motion. I have the plague. I don't have the plague. Nor is it man flu. It is a genuine illness, unfortunately. But, as a famous singer once said, the show must go on, so we are here. This is Simcast. I am Matt Hunter. Alongside me as ever is Mr. Steve Wilkinson. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Hello, hello. Good evening.
At least 50% of the show is chirpy.
I'm propping up the sides for us.
There's probably some people out there who are like, ooh, we like this new, deeper, sultry sound.
It is. It's very...
Night what, on what you... smooth... Yeah, tonight on the like... smooth jazz hour.
it's like clocking into your welcome to Radio Simcast 3 a.m. Oh, your sim racing news.
this is the night hour of Simcast.
This is the cool side of the pillow.
Cool side. The cool side of the pillow. They should get us. RSL should get us in to do the 1 to 3 hours. 3 o'clock in the morning, or something like that.
Oh, that would be
just,
well.
But yeah. We'll literally just pepper the commentary with nice, and yeah.
Oh, I love it.
He's just gone through the Porsche curves. He's just gone through the Porsche curves at 180 kilometers an hour. Smooth. Anyway. Sorry.
He's going for first, says Ryder.
Nice. God. I'm not even on anything special. I'm just on Sudafed. Other plague fighting drugs are available, but probably aren't as easily swallowable. It is season 4, episode 15, on the 18th of April, in the year of our Emperor 2024, otherwise known as
29752-4M3.
Or to those of you with a smooth Starfleet mentality, that is Stardate 77759.2. Cool. Enough of this nonsense. This tomfoolery. How have you been? Because obviously you're not ill.
I've been all right. I've been racing again, like with my two legs again, doing
not silly things. Not with the sim racing steering wheel like you should be.
I know, it's horrendous. No, I was in Lincoln on Sunday.
Oh, famously Sunday flat, yeah. Apart from the bit in the middle where the cathedral is.
That's where we were racing as well, doing the Lincoln 10K. Around the top bit. So it was completely flat. It was great. I did all right. It was okay. It happened. It was nice weather.
Mm.
Went to the pub after. Had a few drinks. It was great.
Nice. Sorry. Nice.
Yeah.
You went to the Winchester, had a few pints, waited for it all to blow over.
Yeah, pretty much. And then
we're just throwing in all this sort of things, yeah. pop culture references today.
And the other thing I did as well was watch Super GT as well. Yeah.
On what?
I say watch Super GT. Watched free practice of Super GT and then watched all of the recap videos that have been popping up for Super GT.
And I reiterate, on what?
YouTube.
It's on YouTube now.
There's free practice on YouTube.
Oh!
Akiyama. And, yeah.
Akiyama. You mean no. You mean Thai Circuit Ada?
Oh yeah.
Because of course, my brain is lodged firmly in 1994.
I've waited to watch this year's Super GT for about 3 months.
Is it because you love the Civic as much as I do?
It is good. It's just every car just looks so much better in Super GT, like GT 500. Even GT3 cars in a Super GT race look nicer.
They do.
I don't know what that is, but it just,
because everything got crazy. Nice. It's because they got crazy anime liveries. That's why.
It's brilliant. It's just so good. And watching it in Japanese or whatever is also. It's you don't miss out on anything, even if you can't understand what's going on, because it's just
edge of your seat,
sort of.
Everything is Super GT. Everything in Super GT and Super Formula, because it's super, everything has to be about 20 times more than anything else. Like, even the crashes in Super GT are just stupid.
Yeah.
They're just nuts.
I got really excited about like the
Michael Bay has been directing Super GT.
Yeah, Super GT is literally. I get excited by just cars lapping each other because the commentators just go mental, and I'm like, oh, what's happening? And I'm like, oh, he's just lapping him. Well, I was really excited about that. I don't know why.
That has actually reminded me. I actually have two Super GT models.
Oh, what you got?
I completely forgot about. I have the early-ish. They're not Pennzoil GTR territory early, which is what I want to get, or Castrol Tom's Supra, which I want to get. But I do have two. Is it a 370Z?
Yeah,
they're both works this attitude. They're both 23s, and one is a GTR. One's I think from 2015, and one I think is from 2017, maybe. Hang on a minute. I'm not fetching them out, but I'm consulting the spreadsheet.
Hold on.
Stop. I just said.
Everyone, stop the pit stop.
2014 Nissan GT-R GT500 number 23.
Can you just explain to the listeners, please, what you've just said about consulting a spreadsheet about your model cars?
I need to remember what I've got, because I can't remember what I've got. I haven't put the other one. Oh, yes, I have. 2005.
How many do you have?
2005 Nissan Z GT500, number 22. Nice.
That's cool.
90.
95? Wow.
I think.
I want to say that's a lot, but I'm pretty sure someone listening to this.
Oh, many people.
Like, well, I've got 468, and I'm.
Many people, many people, and especially a lot of these 1 in 43s, which for those who know are not the smallest scale you can get, but they are certainly a more manageable size. Whereas 1 in 18s are, as I'm discovering, trip hazards. They're quite lumpy.
Are they your doorstops, the 118s?
Well, let's put it this way. There's a very distinct area that my legs can go in under my desk. And that's about it.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
I saw that they've
released Rexy in diecast and whatever.
They have. I shall also next month be sourcing a present for you. May or may not be sweet related.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Not sweets, obviously. Sweet related. Do you remember? Here's the thing. Do you remember when we all used to do the tour at Nürburgring? I think it was the 2.4 hours when we first started doing it.
Yes.
And as I said, doing it in a weird way with this voice, but you know what I mean.
Doing it, yeah.
Doing it. And do you remember Duncan ran the, is it the Wochenspiel? The one that's got the livery that had, it was a Porsche that had a newspaper livery on the side of it.
Yes, and it went into a Ferrari. I remember.
I have found that car.
Oh, that's amazing.
I haven't got it yet.
That was an absolutely outstanding livery from Duncan at the time.
He replicated that livery extraordinarily well. And yes, I have found the actual car. So I am probably going to get it. Because the one benefit about, like, so basically I'm trying to get like one of each evolution of a certain type of car. So I'll end up with three. Actually, I'm going to end up with more than three AMG GT3s because I want to get all of the Mad Pandas because Mad Panda. And I want to, and I've got the Akodis ASP 2023 entry coming in 1/18, so that's coming. The last one that Raffi Marcello drove before he moved to BMW this year.
And he has done the BMW as well. Yeah, I did see that last week. The what's it called? It's not the Blancpain Endurance Series that I keep calling it, but you know what I mean. AWS, whatever.
He was in the NLS as well this weekend as well. Pretty sure. And not sand. I think I'm gonna get Straka from the middle, the first of the AMG GT3s, and then back when it was the SLS, either one of the Hankook ones or a Rovi Racing or something like that. So I've got three iterations of it. But with Porsche, you'll use sport for choice because there's basically 80 billion varieties of 911 GT3R. So,
yep.
There's literally some people, including I'm sure Mr. Hindhoff, going, well, actually.
But, I mean,
and that's absolutely fine. And that is absolutely fine.
I think we're on the 992.2 or something now, are we? Is that where we're
992.
At?
Yeah, sounds about right. It is the 992 because I keep looking at them on Auto Trader.
It is pretty cool.
You know, for reference and research purposes.
Anyway, that tangent. What have you been up to? Because that would be rude not saying what you've been up to.
Well, being ill.
Probably a dog show.
No.
What?
No, we had a weekend off, which was very good because I have been stupid. So obviously the sun came out, which in Britain we have not seen the sun for what feels like 84 years.
It was weird on Sunday when I raced in a shorts and vest and I wasn't freezing or getting muddy. I was really confused. Yeah.
So I did the. We went out. We did. What did I do in the morning? Oh, I worked in the morning. Riker came to work with me. Then we came home, and we did some gardening. Did the first mow of the year, which was lovely until I became maced by grass pollen, which was horrible.
Maced. That's a very like medieval term.
No, like pepper spray, you know.
Oh, yeah, true, yeah,
that's fair enough. That sort of mace. although it felt like a ball and chain, I do. started feeling a bit rough in the evening, and then Sunday, and then basically spent most of Saturday night unable to breathe. The whole left side of my face puffed up and aching like God knows what. Oh, and in disgusting news, something stung my finger, my doing finger, which is the forefinger, the one next to your thumb, whatever that finger is.
Your index finger.
That. Your doing finger, because you press buttons with it and all that's, you know.
Your primary gesture finger.
Your primary gesture, actually that's your middle finger. For me it is anyway.
That's your describing finger.
So that ballooned up and went all horrible and disgusting and nasty. Put a plaster on it. Flooded with pain, it was unbearable. Took the plaster off. There was no other thing I could do. I may have cut it in order to release the pressure.
Surgery. You did some surgery.
I did self surgery. Resulted in an audible bang. The pressure was released, and it is now better. So gardening, far from what Alan Titchmarsh might tell you, is a dangerous hobby that should not be undertaken by anybody ever, apart from maybe the elderly because they have time. Yes, so Sunday was spent basically feeling very sorry for myself and not very well.
Yeah, you just literally you tried to do a good thing and then ended up paying for it.
Yeah, it was ruinsome. Yeah, and the 52 walks of Riker, which we were doing, obviously suffered as a result because I was no fit state to walk anywhere. Yeah, so that was a complete and utter weekend, really, to be honest with you. And to make up for it, we have back-to-back dog shows this weekend.
Huzzah, we're back on.
Which is fine, because one's in... miss one week,
get two.
one's in Exeter, which is absolutely fine. And the other is in Newport, which is... That's not too bad.
That's sketchy, that is.
But it's just in Newport, of course it is. No offence to anyone from Newport. But it is what you... It is what you pass through to go to Cardiff. You don't stop there for any reason.
They're basically one city now, aren't they, really? I mean, they are now between the two, but they are basically the same. Everyone who lives in Cardiff says Newport isn't part of Cardiff, and everyone from Newport says that Cardiff isn't part of Newport. And they're both
right.
Exactly, but they are all Cardiff. Because it's just one big clump.
It certainly feels that way now, yeah. Yeah, so that was that. I did get to watch a bit of the NLS on the previous weekend, and then also the qualifying races for the N24 this last weekend as well, which is quite nice, which is perfectly acceptable, seeing as I'm basically not bedridden, because I've got a fantastic sofa, which means... I don't have to be in bed. It's better than a bed. So I was able to watch that and then watch rugby. So it was great.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So on that note, congratulations to Jimmy Broadbent again. I want to say second in class. I think they led most of it and then had some issues again.
The factory BMW drive is calling, mate. 2 weekends in a row in GT4. Nah, another few years,
You wait, it won't be long. You'll be in the same car as Rossi.
Valentino Rossi. I was thinking that. Spa 24 Valentino. Next year. 25.
Rossi, Rossi Broadbent Marcello. You can see it on the side of the car already.
Oh, what a time. Marcello wouldn't even know what to do with himself.
I just love it. It'd be awesome. But it's really cool. They're doing so well. I'm not gonna lie, the livery on the Bilstein, the black Falcon running the car, isn't it? But it's the bit, I always call it the Billy Bilstein livery after Billy the Aston Martin GT3 that ran that livery. Goodness me, good few years ago now. That's another one I need to get.
I thought you'd have that.
I don't have that.
Wow, I genuinely thought that would be the one.
Need it though.
Yeah.
And it's already been replicated in Assetto Corsa. I've already seen there's a very good rendition of it already in Assetto Corsa that people can get their hands on too. So really, really, really cool to see. And it's just awesome to see them in a proper contemporary GT4 as well. Yeah, so get on. So that's some good sim racing. Some good sim racing news, I believe.
It is. That's reining it back in. Here we go.
Should we talk about? Let's talk about F1 2024.
I heard about this. I haven't seen any of the reveals or anything, but I'm going to guess.
That's because there isn't any. At the time of recording.
On the cover.
Verstappen is on the cover doing his best thrusty motion. Live one thrusty motion.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's dear. A cover. What's going on?
But this is the thing. What I don't even know why they're doing this. What EA are doing is they're basically staging the release of the information of the game, which is a bit... a SpongeBob thing. Nobody cares.
Yeah, that's...
it's basically, oh my god, everyone, look at our two covers. We have one cover which will be different depending on what region you're in. Our region has got the McLaren at the front of it, the Ferrari at the front of that, which is completely impossible. Me? Bad English? Impossible.
It's impossible. That's how the improbable Mercedes, it is.
The Mercedes ahead of the Mercedes, the head of the McLaren, that is impossible. And the Ferrari ahead of both of them, albeit what looks to be on fire.
That's a lot of sparks.
Yeah, no sign of a Red Bull. That's because it's about 3.8 seconds down the road and you can't see it.
Yeah.
With Charles Leclerc, Lewis Hamilton, I mean, it should be George Russell at this point, if we're brutally honest. And Lando Norris doing his best smell the fart acting.
Yep. I mean, Lewis Hamilton in this just looks really disappointed. He's actually looking where Verstappen is at the apex of the corner down the end. He's like, oh, I wish I was there.
He's like, it's Lewis Hamilton doing the, oh, that used to be me face.
That used to be me.
And now I'm normal.
Is this the cover for just the Dutch fans as well?
No, the Champions Edition is the Champions Edition, which will be the cover for everybody because he is the champion.
All right. I thought this was just region locked too.
No, that will be... that'll be what it is.
All right, okay.
Yeah. So, of course, this weekend they're going back to China, which is quite cool. Haven't been to China for ages. Did you see, sorry, in random Formula One news, that Fernando Alonso has re-signed, I keep misreading it, resigned, has re-signed for Aston Martin till the end of 2026, which I think will make him one of the longest serving Formula One drivers, or certainly one of the oldest.
I mean, he's been going in Formula One ever since I've known Formula One.
2001, I think, was his first.
Yeah, like... yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Does that mean he'll be in Formula One for 25 seasons?
No, because he wasn't in Formula One for a couple of those, wasn't he, when he went and did WEC?
I don't know how long. I can't remember how long he did WEC for. But
not like forever. But I think it was two seasons.
Yeah, it was only 2 years. So if it's 2001, 2006, you might get away with it. Was that 25? That's 24, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so he's done pretty well.
He should just do 25.
The thing is, and of course, that last season will be with Honda, which of course is the Formula 2 engine, according to him, following the time at McLaren. So that'd be interesting. Suffice to say, we don't know a huge amount. In fact, you guys will know more about this than we do, because at the time of airing, we've not had any extra stuff come out, but there is a teaser trailer or a gameplay or something coming out probably as you're listening to this, but we haven't seen it yet. What we do know is that it is meant to be running on the same engine as it has done for countless iterations, so I'm not expecting anything to look particularly more better.
You can only polish a turd so much.
Yeah, they're not moving the game forward, no pun intended, particularly with the...
well, they're not moving the sport forward, so really, they're actually got the most realistic game ever compared to the sport.
Yeah. Just you wait, it won't be long, and they'll somehow manage to get hold of the MotoGP license, and then you'll have joint MotoGP races in there as well. It's coming out on the 31st of May, so you don't have too long to wait if you're angling for this one particularly. Obviously coming out on all the platforms. And we don't really know a huge amount else about it at this particular stage, which is a little alarming considering how close the release date is. Yes.
But then we didn't really know a lot about Le Mans Ultimate until it actually came out, and then we were all very pleasantly surprised.
Well, you say that we were pleasantly surprised. Yet, the player numbers have been pretty much dropping daily. Because, as we know, it isn't replete with content or stuff to do. So there is an issue there potentially, but we'll come on to that in a short moment. Vaguely attached to that, I know this will be covered in the other show, but you know, we're not talking about this as well, because of course it should theoretically be coming to Le Mans Ultimate in the not too distant. How good does the new 908X look? The 2024 version of that car. No, sorry, 9X8.
You have very much made my evening. Showing
isn't it
that.
Lush?
I, you know, in like an update of
French,
the car,
I got French brawn vibes from that livery.
Yeah, like the livery of that car matches the car.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm not per se a Peugeot fan, as in like. No. We all know where my allegiance lies, in teams and manufacturers at World Endurance and things like that.
Begins with P and ends in Orsha.
It does. However, their merch looks really good. I'd love a jacket of that, to be honest, of that design. You wouldn't get me lost in the middle of Tesco. You'd know where I was with that jacket.
I'm super, but I think it's brilliant. And what they've done, the rear wing, yes, okay, they've added a rear wing, but it's like Group C low. It's proper like Porsche 924? No. I don't know. Anyway, it's Group C low. It's that sort of low slung right out the back rear wing that you used to get in the sort of late 80s, early 90s, and I mean, here for that.
Yeah, it's kind of got to be anyway, because their car was designed to have no wing, so then it's got loads and loads of like ground effects and everything getting channeled underneath, so you want the wing quite low anyway, so you can catch a bit more of the catch more of the downforce on that as well, over the top and over the bottom. That was good. But yeah, so I'm really up for that.
Is it also wobbling free?
It is, yeah.
Well, I am led to believe that this car would make its debut at Imola.
I would imagine so, because it's a very, very good track to test that out for.
Hmm. Yeah. So, you know, this car should be making its debut at Imola. And of course, you can you can listen to all the coverage from the FIA World Endurance Championship on the Radio Show Limited Network from looks to be I can't read the blooming it's on the weekend Saturday April the 20th from 10 o'clock British time. Tune in. That was really smooth. I did that so well. I have a future as a TV no I do not have a future as a TV
so
10
o'clock is the race start, is that what it is on
no.
Saturday?
No.
Is that qualifying?
Yes. Maybe even practice. The race is on Sunday, as it always is.
I don't know. Sometimes they have it on Saturday or even Friday.
Well, they shouldn't.
I'm just thinking, because if I get really annoyed at work tomorrow, by tomorrow evening, I'm on a plane to...
Do it!
I'm really tempted.
you've got the opportunity to go. Have you ever been? I mean, I've not been, but have
you?
No,
I've not been at all. I don't even know how to get there or whatever. I wouldn't even know anything, but work annoys me one more time tomorrow, and I lose my rag one more. That's it. I'm on a plane.
I'm going to the WEC, and you can't stop me.
I will deal with that fallout on Monday.
Yeah. I will see you later.
I'll see all of you at HR on Monday.
Yeah. So obviously tune into the radio show to the RSL network for coverage of Le Mans this weekend. We must of course talk about Le Mans Ultimate, the patch 3 has come out, bringing more performance, force feedback, and energy balances, plus quite a few other bits and bobs as well. As I said, we did just mention that it is a title that is suffering from a distinct lack of additional content as we go at the moment, but that's not to say there won't be any more coming out. Is that right, Steve?
There won't be much more. Well, there will be much more coming out, hopefully. But yeah, I really do hope they bring out the European stuff, like ELMS and such like.
I'm hoping so. I mean, obviously,
because one thing that I didn't realize, until a few days ago, is that the ELMS LMP2 cars are completely unrestricted.
What?
Genuinely. So they don't have, like, because they're pegged back in WEC because they don't want to overtake the hypercars.
Right.
So in ELMS, they don't need to overtake any hypercars. So they just run them unrestricted or what have you. And I would love to know, I'd love to have the difference of those two in Le Mans Ultimate. Because I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point indeed.
In this patch, though, we have had some serious amounts of Hansen going on. If you get the joke. Someone's going to get the joke.
Oh, bop. Yeah, all right.
We got some bop.
Oh, no.
Some serious amounts been going on. But yeah, so loads of cars have gained some weight. No one's got weight taken off them. I love looking at that. You're disgusted about that joke, aren't you?
I don't even know where to begin, mate. I don't even know. I don't even know who you are anymore. Yeah, but in fairness, I was quite good. Yeah, fair enough.
But I'm actually genuinely happy that they've gone through and rebalanced after 3 months or three patches. It's been out 3 months now, isn't it? Or 2 months? I don't know when it came out. I think it was February.
I can't remember now. Yeah,
February.
Like one of those, I've had it and I've been playing it.
Yeah, so I'm happy they've gone back on rebalancing these cars and putting some BOP, sorting some stuff out and everything. And adding fuel consumption to hypercars.
Okay.
Like up to 32% more fuel consumption for things like the Porsche. So that's a lot. You're really going to notice that. And you've got to now work on your energy consumptions and things like that for your hybrid system and stuff like that. So you've got to manage that better now.
Really little things that they're fixing. They're just fixing materials and stuff like that. It's lots of little quality of life stuff that I really, really like. Yeah.
Like little things, just like adding the curbs that they missed in Portimao on turns 3 and 5. So, you know, someone noticed that, someone told them, and now they're adding it in.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool. So keep going all these things, and then you'll have a proper game and ready for all the DLC content that you're going to add, aren't you, Le Mans Ultimate?
Oh, this is where we need Lewis. At Sebring, added details to Sunset Bridge often used for driving references.
Is that correct, Lewis? Yes.
Well, that's the final turn, isn't it, Sunset? Yeah. All I know is it's bumpy as hell, and I still haven't got that right. It's funny, you do Sunset, and it's been a long time since I've gone around there and thought, yeah, that felt about right. I'll keep doing that. The rest of the time it's just like, nope. Nope, spine's still broken. Car's still trash.
Car is still really bumpy.
Let's just have a look. Oh, no, hang on. There is a car that has had weight taken off.
Oh, I missed that. Sorry. I never miss these things.
It's the Peugeot.
Is it on or off? I thought it gained off. 2.5. Off.
No, it's off. It's minus 2.5 kilograms.
Oh, you're clearly going to notice that. Those 20 newtons.
It's a bit of a dinner, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, all the rest seem to be like plus 10. And the fuel consumption increases from between about plus 12% and 33% for the chonky Toyota nom 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 on the fuel.
But everything in GTE was balanced around the Aston, because that's like got no, that's got like just cosmetic things added to it, as far as I remember. So clearly that was the worst one.
I find it deeply galling that we won't see the GT3 Evo in Assetto Corsa Competizione, I don't believe, because there won't be any more significant updates to that, as far as we know. And we may not, and depending on what happens with the future of Le Mans Ultimate, we may not see that car in this either. So,
yeah,
I'm going to have to wait till someone mods it.
They've got to bring GT3s out at some point for Le Mans Ultimate.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, while they do that,
I wonder if they'll model the Mustangs to have failing rear wings as well.
Yeah, I know, that's the other thing as well. Or they just won't have.
Have
them
you
on,
got like, the like, wobbly wing? Huh?
Proton just don't put them on anymore. They're just like, yeah, we're not going to put those on because they'll just come off.
We're pretending to be Peugeot.
If you think about it though, if they're going to add GT3s, they can easily at the same time add ELMS because they just need to do
LMP3
and liveries.
Yeah.
So the only thing they need to do is LMP3 as new things, because they'll do 2-for-1 as, and then while they do that, they'll do IMSA as well, because then they just need.
Well,
to
no. At the very least, they'll do Rota Le Mans, which again would include what you just said, the LMP3. So
yeah, so. It's a very odd genre to do a game as well, though, because you can easily run out of refreshing content because all you're doing is adding series of the same series. But then we've got a million and one GT3 games now, but everyone seems to be quite content with that.
So it's stupidly popular, but also the thing is, you've got teams like WRT will enter a couple of different series, with the exact same car, take for example the 46 BMW M4 GT3, but in each series that it enters that car, it'll have a slightly different livery.
Yep.
Which means that some graphic artist gets to go and do four different liveries for four different cars, four different liveries of the same car for four different series. It also means that the lovely people at Mini Champs or Spark or whomever, can then produce models of the aforementioned car and then sell them for stupid money on various websites.
Yeah, they've got four times as much cars to do.
Yeah, which many champs have done. There are at least five different variants of the 46 BMW M4 GT3 as we speak.
Wonderful.
All of which are from 2023. I only own one of them.
Where to next?
Shall we? Oh, I know. Rally.
Rally. That's a different genre in itself.
More specifically, old school rally.
Ooh.
Hmm. So basically,
like PS1 era rallying. It is.
It is. G Kinder, basically an independent developer called Frozen Lake Games, are producing a rally game that really, really, really brings back the sort of Colin McRae, Richard Burns rally, 1990s or late 90s era PlayStation graphic type look for a rally game.
I remember playing this when I was like 8 years old or even less.
You know, one thing I sort of say is graphics are like obviously a fairly intrinsic part for a lot of people for sim racing, but actually I would take a game that feels bob on over perfect graphics every day of the week, which is why Richard Burns Rally is still
100%
extremely popular, even though it doesn't look that great anymore. because
100%.
Yeah, because as a rallying game, it's the dog's what's-its, and will remain that for quite some time to come. Yeah, and I sort of think that this is a really, really cool thing. This is really, really cool. I'm so glad that they're doing this as well. Not a lot to kind of say that there's one official trade, which I'm not going to watch whilst we are doing this, because I don't know what interactions will happen, whether the, you know, whether the process will stop or break the internet trying to do it. But just from the sort of static image, I instantly got Colin McRae 1 vibes. I was instantly thrown back to sat in my bedroom in front of a gigantic CRT screen playing Colin McRae on my PlayStation. So
I think that's brilliant.
And I'm loving it.
Those trees in the back of that static image just look like a Bob Ross painting.
Well, that's how it used to be, wasn't it? You had like a line of two
trees.
Yeah, happy little trees. You had a line of 2D trees, and then in the background was Bob Ross.
Yeah, I think that's brilliant. I just love it. It does bring back a lot of memories of just nostalgia.
But the thing is, it's kind of a thing at the minute. Like, going back to obviously our other favourite, franchise, Warhammer. You had Shooter's Blood and Teeth. You also had Bolt Gun, which was a proper like early 90s FPS in the style of sort of Quake, which was just so hit you over the head with nostalgia, and I'm here for that. You know, I'm nearly at the big 4-0. I am totally, and I have RetroArch. I am totally happy playing games from 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, like, do you know, the thing is though, there's going to be people that are buying this now that are going to, that don't have their PlayStation 1 anymore. They haven't.
Yeah.
You know, do you know what I mean? Like what you said, like you used to play it, and I remember getting shown this by my dad when I was like 5 years old, 6 years old.
Yeah.
And the fun that he used to have on a PlayStation 1, whatever, and getting shown it. I think there are people of a particular vintage
generation
now
that
are going to be that are going to be buying this for the sake of going, well, I just want to have an evening. They'll pay however much it is just to have that evening. And like show their son, like, this is what I used to play. This is so cool. Do you know what I mean? And
100%.
And like, you don't need all your graphics and all this, that, and the other, and whatever. And this is how it's going to be good. I'm all for this. I would love to have just an evening with a pack of beer playing this, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's necessarily easy, but who knows? But you can wishlist it on Steam. I'm just going to see if we've got any information on cost or anything like that. Oh, and of course, it's moving on the Steam page for it. Oh, goodness gracious, it is everything we hoped it to be. There is no price. You can just add it to the wish list for the minute. Yeah, I'm here for that. 1,000,000,000% here for that. I'm all over that like a bad suit. You wanted to talk about the Silverstone Museum, young sir.
I did, and I'm actually realised when I mentioned about this, I'm actually going to Silverstone in 2 weeks, so I might actually be able to go there. I don't know for sure, because I'm going to British GT.
Oh, the 500, oh, cool.
Yeah. I can't wait for that. That's something to look forward to. But Silverstone, of all people, especially in their new museum, are really embracing sim racing, because they now have a sim suite at Silverstone. It's sponsored or heavily endorsed by Radical, which I think is quite cool as well. So you can only, as far as I understand it, you can only drive on Silverstone circuit in their sim rigs in a Radical. okay, fair enough, whatever. But they actually have some pretty good gear that you can have a go on as well. A Simicube wheelbase and Cube Controls SP01 pedals. Now, you're going to tell me if they're good or not.
I don't know. The Cube Controls ones.
Yeah.
If it's anything like, if it's anything like their wheels, then yes.
Simicube, I can go, that's pretty good. But I don't know about
Cube Controls are very good. I knew they were bringing out pedals. I have yet to sort of really see any reviews for. I'm sure there are loads. The one thing I do really like is they are using the Samsung Odyssey G9 screens, which proves you don't need triple screens to be awesome at sim racing. I like it. I think it's good because it is what this does.
I think it's really good. It's it's just a way to have a fun sort of thing with your mates. £20 for 30 minutes. You can book ahead of time or whatever and have a little play and everything. And it just breaks up like the tour as well of you going around the city. You could just have a go at some really good sim equipment on sim racing.
Yeah.
Around
Silverstone in a Radical.
Yeah, which isn't bad. I mean, there's worse things to go around Silverstone on, like running it like I'm going to do on the 1st of May and do the Silverstone 10K again. You know, what idiot is that?
Well, you apparently.
Me, yeah. But yeah, I like it. I think it's good.
No, I do think it's good. And what it does is, again, it sort of shows that these entities are treating sim racing with the sort of legitimacy that it deserves. It's not kids messing around on their computers like it was. It's perceived to be, you know, even when Toro was starting out, really, you know, it's a proper thing. It's a viable path for people into real world motorsport. More and more people are using it, even as a additional schooling element to their motorsport training. And yeah, it's awesome that they're starting to include. And the thing is, we sort of said it about it before. That that sim racing has the opportunity to be a virtual like a virtual museum in itself, because if circuits get lost over time and they're suitably scanned and or even just through photos built, like, you know, you think some of the quality of some of the independent mods that there are for a set of course of various tracks that haven't existed for 50, 60 odd years. Or even like the Mil Milia that people that's been developed over time, countless others, Reams and all that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
and the cars that ran on them in period. The only way that you can truly experience, well, the only way that people who aren't in their 60s, 70s, 80s can truly experience that now is in sim racing.
Exactly. Yeah.
So this, you know, it has a very viable opportunity to be. An educational tool, especially in this environment, as a great educational tool as well. What would be really cool would be if the museum actually managed to incorporate historical versions of Silverstone with period accurate cars and run those as well. That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be really cool actually. So you could see how the original like 1948 layout around like the airfield.
Yeah.
Did and always that and the other. I totally back what they're doing. And it also ties in with the strengthening partnership with the sim racing world and like the MSA as well, because they've got all their things going on. And you know, it's just motorsport in the real world and sim racing finally becoming one in a weird way, rather than just it's something that's substituted when racing can't happen.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and I'm not sounding big head or anything like that, but obviously, you know, Toro was the first. It's documented that it was the first.
In its world record, it says it's the first.
Yeah. You know, with as was the MSA, now Motorsport UK, you know, I like to sort of think that we kicked this off. you know, this sort of level of recognition, at least. Obviously, COVID had a massive hand in accelerating that program, I suspect. But, you know, I'd like to sort of think that Torah played a you know, not insignificant role in all that. Will we ever get the recognition for that? Probably not. Is that a problem? No, not really. But we know.
Really?
And the listeners know. You know.
And I was on Motors TV, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, another first.
In a Haribo Porsche, you know, that is like life goals.
Yeah. You know, and this is cool. And this is just another step for that. I think it's awesome. You know, it is super cool. Yeah, I still actually do need to go there at some point because I really would like to go around that museum. So there's going to be a lot of cool things that I'd be deeply interested in. Just trying to see what else we've got that we need to cover because time is getting on. I do have to take care of these little things. What was I going to say? There was something I was going to talk about. This is what happens when you're full of... Your head is full of fluff. You tend to sort of...
The crew.
Yeah. The crew. Oh, yes. Yeah, so...
The crew.
Here's our sort of debate for the end of the day.
Yes.
Is your content really your content? Now, there's going to be a lot of people who instantly go, no, of course it's not. You're on a streaming service. You don't really own the content because you're streaming it. You pay your subscription fee and they can... You know, the streaming owners can obviously... add and remove content at, say, like. Well, what happens when you purchase it? What happens when it's actually your content that you have bought with your money and it's on your system? Is it your content? Because what we've learned recently, and we can't go into this deep detail because, again, my head is full of fluff and my legal brain is old and stuck in its ways. What we've learned recently is while we knew that the original Ubisoft game, The Crew, the service for which we're going to be switched off at the end of March, March 31st, that was done. Players weren't happy with that, fair enough. But what basically, the follow-up to that was the way that players were trying to get around it was to basically have the idea of privately hosted servers so that they could keep playing with their mates if they really wanted to. Not a bad idea, why not?
Mm-hmm.
However, what seems to be happening now, there's many reports that are saying that the publisher is deleting the game from players' Ubisoft Connect libraries.
See,
the reason for this apparently is expiring licenses, but if you're talking about a game that can no longer be played online, so the only way that the player can really play it is on their own system or in a private server amongst their own people. How is that correct?
That's not... yeah, you're fine. You should be fine with that. Because you're not online. You are online, but you're not online. Because you're in your own... like, own privately owned hosting things and stuff. I don't know. Unless there is something in the terms and conditions of when you signed up. That's the only thing I can be on Ubisoft's side on this. But the game didn't have a lot of people playing it. But I think it's the principle of it that it's the problem, if that makes sense.
I think also boils down to the fact that they've got a new title coming. Oh, no, they haven't. What am I thinking? Well, I'm thinking Test Drive. That's why you ignore me. But they do have a newer game out. And of course, if they've still got people playing on the old game, they're not going to migrate to the new game, are they?
No.
So, yeah, there is that. That's Motorfest for all those who have been paying attention to our older shows. Yeah. So it's,
I don't I'm know. Not sure. Yeah, I think you should always be able to play it. Like, regardless whether you're online or offline or whatever, like, you just want to play it on a Sunday evening and just have a reminisce of what you're doing. Because right now I can boot up GTR 2 and I know it's going to work. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's and that's like 20 years old.
Yeah.
And all of those licenses in that game are definitely expired. You know, with the Maserati MC12 and all that and the other. But I can play the game.
So
I think their reasons behind it are a bit pants, in no other way of describing that.
So the legalese behind it, coming from their terms of use and the end user license agreement, states that the services and content are licensed to you, not sold. This means we grant you a personal, limited, non-transferable and revocable right and license to use the services and access to the content for your entertainment, non-commercial use, subject to your compliance with these terms. So basically what they're saying is, I don't know, and what would be really interesting would be to see if this move continues, whether people who own it on other platforms also see it removed from their libraries. I need to check, so I'm pretty sure I've got it on Steam. I got it as a freebie on something, I can't remember. Well, anyway. But we'll be very interested to see whether that is something that happens on other platforms. Because a bit like I said at the start of this little topic, that you can pay a subscription to, say, Amazon, to Disney, to Paramount, to Discovery, whatever, to watch whatever's on those channels.
You don't never own a game anymore.
Well, apparently not. Apparently
in
not.
Theory, so you never actually own a game. You rent. You're basically renting a game, aren't you? And when they want it back, they'll ask for it back. They won't even ask for it back. They'll just take it back.
I don't think Ubisoft's been particularly sensible with this. It's like, you know, I'm pretty certain, yeah, okay, but I'll turn servers off for old games, and that's fine. But the issue you'll have is if there's people still playing, like on a console, for example, you know, people who've got like older Forza games, I'm pretty certain they can still, if they own it digitally, if obviously they own it physically, of course you can play it, but if you own it digitally, I'm pretty certain they're still able to play the game.
I think so.
Yeah, you just got to assume that certain elements will be limited. You won't be able to do quite so much as you used to be able to. But like GT Sport, I'm pretty certain, yes, they turned off the servers, you couldn't buy it anymore. Because they want everyone to move over to Gran Turismo 7. But I'm pretty sure if you want to play it, you probably still can, though I'm almost certain you can't actually do anything with it because it requires you to be online the whole entire time. So we are sadly entering a period where it looks as if you don't own anything that you buy in terms of games anymore, which is a bit pants.
A little bit unnerving.
I'm not convinced. It's the first time I've come across the idea of a developer literally taking it out of your library so you can't even open it anymore. That's new. And it'd be interesting to see where this goes. So we will be following this story. We're going to keep an eye on updates on this, particularly just purely out of interest from a legal standpoint as well. You know, where do we as consumers stand as regards our online content in terms of sim racing? It's not a cheap hobby. People are pumping in a lot of money on the software that they're using. So you want that to be there every single time you turn your computer on and jump on your rig to jump in game and crack on. If you turn up and it's gone, what do you do? This is the question. Well, that was a mindful thing to end the show on, I fancy.
I love it.
We really shouldn't make a habit of this, because although I will say I'm quite impressed I've managed to get through the whole entire show, and I think I've only muted myself twice. Which I think we can all agree is pretty damn good.
That's not bad, actually. I thought it would be good. Like 50 times.
No, that's surprised even myself. I have found a way of talk. I did sort of work it out towards the end of the working day today. I found a way of talking, which means I'm not vibrating the part of my throat that creates the cough, if you know what I mean. It's very weird, but I've sort of got it sussed. So I'm partly the reason why I'm talking like this. Anyway, irrelevance, nonsense, tomfoolery, none of this in the UK show anymore. We are serious sim racing broadcasters coming to you every other week with TV USA, who are more serious than us, coming to you every other week. They'll be back next week with more sim racing news and updates. I've been Matt Hunter. Steve Wilkinson has been the bit of the fiddle portion of this show. I am off to have some more pills and probably some, and probably a very, 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 very hot drink. See you all in a couple of weeks, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.